Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. It is Wednesday, June 13th, 2012, and here we go with another hour talking about something that I think is really very important, food. And I know that so many of us out there feel so frustrated. We all want to live good lives. At least I think most of us do. And one of the most obvious places to start in making a difference is with what we eat every day. Food is connected to so many things. And so if we really want to make our lives meaningful and better and feel good spiritually, emotionally, physically, food is the best place to start. And one of the things that I find so crazy these days is that so many of us are always looking for the best deal when it comes to food. We want food that's cheap. And certainly food should be affordable and food should be accessible. But shouldn't we put value into having quality, nutritious food? There's a little food for thought. Meanwhile, I want to introduce my first guest, the absolutely wonderful, fabulous, compassionate, brilliant Dr. Will Tuttle. He's an award-winning speaker, educator, author, and musician. His music, writings, and presentations focus on creativity, intuition, and compassion. He presents between 100 and 150 events yearly at conferences, retreats, progressive churches, and centers throughout North America. A former Zen monk with a PhD in education from UC Berkeley, he has worked extensively in intuition development, spiritual healing, meditation, music, creativity, vegan living, and cultural evolution. Get ready to be inspired. Welcome to It's All About Food, Will.
Hi, Karen. Nice to be with you. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
It is. Thank you. So I haven't seen you in a few years, and I'm just wondering what's new, what's good going on in the world. You travel all over the place, and I want to hear some good news.
Right. Yeah, actually, Madeline and I are now in our 17th year living on the road in our solar-powered rolling home here. We're in Massachusetts at the moment, and we are doing still lots of events. I have a lecture here in Cape Cod tomorrow night promoting the vegan living. And I would say that the momentum is definitely building for veganism and for compassion and health, and understanding the critical role of eating a plant-based diet and living lives that reflect what we yearn for, which is a world of kindness and compassion and freedom and equality and justice. And that as we give those qualities to animals and to other people, hungry people, and there's so many really that are harmed through our daily food choices and our product choices, that we are sowing the seeds of a new world, of a much better world. And I think the momentum is like exponentially increasing. I mean, there's
Absolutely. Definitely
a pushback. You know, I can feel this pushback from the industries and from just the long ingrained habits. But more and more people are really excited about the possibility of a plant-based diet. I get emails really a lot saying that people have read the World Peace Diet and gone vegan. I just got one today, and they. So I think, you know, more and more people are waking up. And that's the good news.
Well, The World Peace Diet is a fabulous book. You wrote it in 2005?
Right.
Right.
It was 5 years. But, yeah, it was published at the end of 2005. And we're still actually, it seems to be nearly, well, I wrote it in the way not, you know, to be something that would be sort of an evergreen. I mean, it's not really dated, I don't think.
Oh, absolutely not.
So
I think it's a great handbook for humanity.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks very much. And the main idea there is to understand that whatever we sow, we will eventually reap the consequences of our actions, and that our mistreatment of animals routinely for food, and especially for food, but for products and experimentation and everything else, has consequences that we're taught not to see. And so this is like this, essentially this hidden cultural program that is forced on all of us when we're born into this culture to see animals merely as things and to actually eat them, that's what really gets that way of seeing deeply into us. And so it's only when we are able to actually help each other, I think, is really what it is, help each other to see this, you know, it's create communities and ways of bringing this understanding to each other, like you're doing with your radio program, to help people see that we've all been indoctrinated with a program in this, through the food rituals, which are the most powerful rituals in any culture, really are the meals, and that it's not in our best interest.
Now, you have a very interesting history and your path, lots of colorful experiences, lots of meditation. You were in Korea as a Zen Buddhist. You've taken long walks to Tennessee, where you went to the farm and became vegetarian. I mean, you've done a lot of searching and spiritual work. Does everyone need to do that?
I think, in a way, we all need to have our own unique journey, you know.
Because I could hear some people saying, oh, yeah, that's too much trouble.
Right. Yeah, it was definitely a lot of trouble, but it was actually not trouble. It was really fun. But I think we all, you know, we all have our unique way of getting to wherever we're going. We have, in a sense, like the Beatles talked about, the long and winding road that will lead us eventually to the door. And I think, you know, we can speed up the process in a sense by cooperating with it. And I think the best way is to help each other. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was I can't really separate the inner work from the outer work. I think for me, it was really always about trying to quiet my mind and trust an inner knowing rather than trusting the cultural program, the all the voices in my head from my parents and the ministers and the teachers and the doctors and the lawyers and the media and the Walmart ads and, you know, everything, to separate that out and not have my life be propelled by those things and my goals be dictated by those things, and to connect with my own inner knowing. And I really think that veganism, vegan living, essentially has to be that. I mean, I think for us to be healthy and whole and complete and creative and to be participants in our society in a positive way, each one of us has a unique contribution to give that we will only be able to give as we are successful in connecting with the truth that is within us. So I think veganism comes to us naturally when we begin to do that. We mm-hmm. naturally begin to question this violence and the incredible wastefulness, the sheer, it's so irrational and unloving and ineffective to be confining and feeding animals and cutting down forests and destroying the oceans to feed animals fish meal so they can give more milk. And all these things are extremely ineffective and violent and cause disease and war. And I think as soon as anyone begins to connect, you know, basically with their inner wisdom and compassion, they will naturally begin to question these things. The difficulty is, though, that they go very deep, and even people on a spiritual path very often have difficulty questioning the deep program of food. It goes right back to right after we lose our mother's breast and we start eating and we have...
If we even had our mother's
memories.
Breast.
Yeah, if we ever get the breast. Right? Most people don't.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is the most important work and probably the greatest work, this internal work, listening to our voices and choosing the ones we want to hear, or at least scripting the ones we want to hear and erasing the ones that are meaningless. This is really important work, and it's very, very challenging. I think once we get to the point where we have shelter and food and we don't have to focus on survival, then this is the most important thing we can do.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And it's all connected. And I think it's very important for us who have the means to have food and, you know, basic needs met, to take the next step and try to connect with the purpose of our lives. And when we do that, I think we'll begin to live in a more kind and compassionate way for ourselves and for others around us, and we'll be able to then create the same opportunity for others who are right now are just trying to get food in their mouths and can't. because of the inequality in the system.
And it's, it's so nutty because we've got, what, about a billion people who are starving and then a billion people who are obese, and it's...
Right. Right. We're growing plenty of food to feed everyone. Actually, they say more than twice as much as they could possibly eat. If people were actually eating a plant-based diet, we could feed the whole, feed twice as many people as we have. So that's a wonderful, you know, every time I think about that and articulate that to groups, you know, the basic message is we live on a beautiful and abundant planet. There's no reason for anyone to be hungry. There's more than enough to go around for everyone. And it's simply a matter of not believing the official stories that are drummed into our heads over and over again that we need to eat meat to get enough protein, we need to eat dairy products to get enough calcium, that there's just not enough to go around, that there's always going to be people who are hungry and starving. That they're all official stories that benefit perhaps a tiny minority, tiny minority of people. But for all of us who are actually living here and animals and future generations and so forth, they're absolutely counterproductive and they're not true.
Yep.
And it's being more and more understood. It's sort of people are looking behind the curtain, like in The Wizard of Oz.
That's funny you brought that up. We were just talking about that yesterday. The man behind,
right.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. Yeah.
Right, right.
Exactly. What we need to do is click our ruby slippers together three times and say,
right.
Go vegan, go vegan, go vegan. Something
exactly.
Like that.
Yeah, that's actually, I think that would probably do it. We all did that.
I'm looking at your schedule on your website, willtuttle.com/schedule.htm. And you're amazing. So you're all over the place. And I see that there's some consistency here where you speak at a lot of Unity churches and
right.
Unitarian. And
right.
It always struck me as another part of the bizarre world that we live in, where religious groups, and I am not someone who follows any religion, but where religious groups will promote, or say they do, kindness and compassion and thou shalt not kill, and yet they're not promoting, for the most part, a vegan message.
Yeah, I know. It's something that I'm actually faced with constantly over the last 20 years, because I pretty much every Sunday for the last 20 years, I've been going into very progressive churches where people are talking about the most progressive things, really, and yet there is this universal resistance to looking at the food choices. And even when they get together in conferences that are specifically for world peace and for social evolution, for cultural evolution, for cultural transformation, you know, all these things, and if I apply to these conferences and say, I'd like to bring the message of compassion for animals and veganism, they turn me down. They say, no, we don't want to discuss that. We don't want to bring that into the equation. That's not important. But that's too divisive.
That complicates things.
That's complicated. We want to be able to eat our meat and dairy products and have peace and transformation. And don't realize that that's, it's a recipe for disaster, really. Whatever we sow, we reap. So I see some help. I see some changes happening, and that's the good. That's great, I think.
I remember,
there are changes happening.
Yeah, I remember the Unitarian Church put out some sort of, I don't know what to call it, but a few years ago they came out and said all the churches should have this thing about sustainable food or something like that. And
it was actually ethical eating.
Ethical eating.
The church. It was the actual denomination-wide, entire North America, all the ministries were focusing together on a study action issue. It's what they do every like 8 or 9 years, study action issue. So that they chose that at the big meetings. And again, though, it was interesting because I spoke at quite a few Unitarian churches during this time on ethical eating, and I still found that there was quite a bit of hemming and hawing about actually looking at it, our eating of animals for food. But I will have to say, to their credit, they did struggle with this, and they did create a statement finally that as a denomination that our treatment of animals for food is something that has to be taken seriously. We should move toward more plant-based diets, essentially. So they did come up finally with that statement. So that was heartening to see. So I think, again, that's a sign of some of the progress that's being made.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So you talk a lot to many, many, many people. And what seems to be the biggest concern with people or their biggest struggles these days?
Well, I think a lot of people, it's right now, of course, it's economic, the economy, and health. And so with Forks Over Knives and some of the other things coming out that are helping people to basically have better health and save money there, too, I think that's helping a lot of people move toward a more plant-based diet, and they can rationalize it and understand it in those terms. It's also great to see organizations releasing undercover video footage of the violence and atrocities committed routinely against animals in stockyards and factory farms and slaughterhouses. And I think that's getting more and more play, and people are eating less meat. I mean, that's one of the things that is undeniable, is that the per capita consumption of meat is really declining. The number of animals, land animals being killed, is declining, and in the United States anyway. And this is definitely seems to be increasing, and the number of vegetarians and vegans are increasing. I think, you know, those are things that we want to really work to keep the momentum going and keep the education going. And that's one of the reasons we do the lectures that we're doing. We have this online training for multi-site facilitators, and we're doing a thing called Vegan Palooza, which is in a couple of weeks in mid-July, which is we're going to be interviewing on the online. It's basically an online program. A lot of well-known people in the vegan movement, like Neil Barnard and John McDougall and Rory Friedman. And
where
Kathy
can we Trump find out about that?
Ollie. So, well, we're just setting it up, but it's Vegan Palooza. It's on my schedule. If you look down a little bit July 12th to 15th. And veganpalooza.com is the website. We just have it coming up right now, and but in the next week or so, it'll all be up there. We'll be sending emails out and letting people know. So I think it's basically about getting information really to people so that they can understand, because we get so much misinformation and
so much. I want to underline that so much misinformation.
Right. Exactly.
Okay, let's talk about something a little. I want to touch on meditation, because I know that's been an important part of your life, and I know you talk about it with people. Can you just give us a little idea of what it is and what you do?
Yeah, meditation.
And how important it is.
Right. To me, you know, even though in our culture it's considered sort of a marginal thing, typically in our culture, I believe that it's essential. It's part of our fundamental human heritage as human beings to be able to enter into states of consciousness where our mind is not dominated by the relentless thinking that goes on based on our conditioning. And so what meditation is simply bringing our mind into the present moment in a relaxed and present way, where we're not thinking about what we did in the past or the future, what's going to happen, that kind of thing. We're not focusing our attention there, but rather being open and quiet and receptive. It's sort of this ultimate receptivity to me. It's being receptive and quiet. And it's essentially contacting what I refer to in the World Peace Diet as Sophia, the sacred feminine dimension within us. Whether we're men or women, I think we have this capacity to be receptive to a higher knowing, which is really our own true nature. And if we don't cultivate that, then we're simply, as I said earlier, being propelled through life by this programming. So meditation is really the daily practice of consciously letting go of the program, constantly letting go of this narrative that I've always got going, sort of running in the background of why I like this and why I don't like that and why I'm going to do this and why I'm going to do that and why they shouldn't have done that and why I wish they would have done this and that whole story. Just letting it go and just connecting with being, not trying to change anybody, not trying to change ourselves, not trying to attain anything, just to experience being. And I think when we are able to do that, we'll realize that what we are right now in this moment is whole and complete and aware and is of the nature of eternal consciousness. We're manifesting through a physical vehicle, and we have a name and a form that we identify with. in many ways, that's a delusion that we're just that. And we're taught by our culture that we're just an object, just a thing that was born and will die. And through meditation, we can experience directly that what we are, in fact, is actually eternal consciousness manifesting through a vehicle in a physical body that may be in a certain age and weight and sex and so forth. But actually, we are the consciousness that makes this possible. And when we do that, we begin to see others as consciousness. And we begin to become, I think, a blessing in the world in the sense that we don't just limit people. We don't see other beings merely as pieces of meat. We see them as sacred manifestations of consciousness. And we begin to have some self-respect, and we begin to have more self-confidence because we realize that we're more than just this programmed object that's going to live a little while and then die, and therefore we have to try to get what we want and keep away what we don't want, and in this constant struggle. That is really an enslaving mentality. It's a prison. And so the idea is to free ourselves from that prison. And the main way out, actually, it really is two things. One is consciousness, meditation, being aware. And the other is compassion, being kind and loving and actually seeing other beings as worthy of our kindness and respect.
This is the secret to life, folks. I really think so. And I think it's so unfortunate in our society that we don't meditate. And it's something that babies and children should be brought up with. That should be a normal part of life when we all have our moment to go within and be quiet and learn how to turn off all of that junk.
Right. I
know that meditation has really, it was one of the important factors in saving my own life and really focusing on my own intention and what I wanted. One thing was to live. And living, because I started meditation during a serious moment of crisis. But it's such a wonderful thing because it's free and it provides so much benefit. I would really love for all of us to be able to take a moment. We deserve it. And just be with ourselves. And in so many intense, stressful moments when we think, oh, but I can always meditate. It really brings us calm and sometimes answers some questions that seem so overwhelming.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, if we're not meditating, we really don't even know who we are, what we're doing, why we're doing it. We're kind of on automatic pilot, just being driven along by the forces of conditioning that have been just overwhelming us since we were born, really. So meditation to me is opening the door of consciousness and really opening the door of the prison and walking out and seeing life and myself from another perspective. And like you said, the benefits are many levels. I mean, there's a lot of research showing that meditation helps us physically. We have lower blood pressure and just more physical harmony. It helps us psychologically. There's a lot of studies that show that it helps with stress and anxiety and depression and those kinds of things. And then I think it's also important to realize that it helps us on a spiritual level as well. And I think also ethically, we begin to connect with this inner sense of being part of something greater. And so we begin to become more kind and loving in our relationships with others, more harmonious. We begin to see their perspective, not just our own in a certain sense. And so I think culturally it's very helpful. I think actually it would really help our entire culture if more people took time to meditate. And I think that it's not something that's religious in the sense you don't have to belong to any particular religion. It's more just a human activity. I don't think it's just human. I think animals also meditate. I think that's one of the reasons they're in some ways a lot more harmonious and connected to their purpose because I love watching animals, birds and wild animals in general. To me, when I see them, they're very much in the present moment and conscious and aware and fulfilling something that I think we could learn a lot about ourselves if we pay attention to animals.
Absolutely. One of the things I like to do when I look at any animal is to look in their eyes, and there's so much in their eyes, and I like to have that communication saying, I don't eat you.
Exactly. Right. I respect you and you're safe here.
You are not food.
Yeah.
You are someone.
Right. And animals are intuitive. I think they
know.
They really pick up
absolutely
on that.
Absolutely. So have you ever led a meditation with, like, a gazillion people?
Well, actually, I've led retreats where people will come and we'll do a meditation retreat for,
Here's something I want to see you do if you ever get motivated to do it. But some sort of world peace diet meditation where we all at some designated time for 10 minutes or something do something all together everywhere led by you.
All right. Well, that's a great idea. We have something that's approaching that, but if anyone's interested, we have a website called circleofcompassion.org, and there's the worldwide prayer circle for animals, and every day at noon, there are actually hundreds of people all over the world that have signed up and put themselves on the world map, and every day at noon, wherever we are, we all join together in prayer, basically in affirmative prayer, meditation for animals, seeing animals as part of, basically the actual thing we say is compassion encircles the earth for all living beings everywhere. That's the basic formula in a sense. But the idea is to just feel and see the energy of compassion encircling and embracing all living beings everywhere. And we just join in that at noon. We thought that's the easiest thing if we all do it at noon. So it's kind of a rolling, it rolls across the time zones kind of a thing. But we could also do something on a larger scale.
Where do we find that? What's the website?
The website is circleofcompassion.org.
Okay.
You just go there and it says join us, and then there's a place you can find out, but it's right there. It's very, very, it's very much available, and we'd love to have.
Okay, well, now I know what I'm doing at noon tomorrow.
Right. it's a nice rhythm in our life. Every day at noon, we just pause for a few minutes and just connect with others. Yeah.
Very good. Well, we have just a couple of minutes left, Will. What do you want to share with us in these last few wonderful, loving, peaceful moments?
I see. Yeah. Well, I just really basically want to thank you, of course, Karen, for just keeping the flame burning and so beautifully. And I want to thank also everyone who's listening for the efforts that I know you're making. And I think it's important for us really to remember that no effort that we make is ever lost when we do something to try to spread this message or to live this message. Because what veganism is, essentially, it's nothing to be proud of. It's not being special or different or anything. It's just simply coming home to our own true nature, coming home to our own hearts and looking out with eyes that when we see beings rather than seeing things. So it's just simply, in a sense, coming back home. And I think every time we make an effort to bring this message to others, it may seem that they are rejecting it or they didn't like it or they didn't hear it, to know that we did plant a seed, to not be attached to the fruits of our actions, but just plant the seeds as best we can, and that in the fullness of time, all the seeds that we're planting will bear fruit. And so the whole idea is really, I think, to adopt this mentality of radical inclusion. That's really what veganism is, to include all beings in the sphere of our kindness and compassion and do the best we can to find our unique way to bring this message to others, however that is, through art, music, education, writing, whatever. And then I think as we do that, for the few years that we have on this beautiful earth, we'll be living our lives with purpose and meaning. And I don't think there's anything more important anyone can do than to help spread this message of the vegan message of compassion and kindness for all life.
Radical inclusion.
Right.
Okay,
radical
I like
inclusion.
That. Thank you so much. Everyone, read The World Peace Diet if you haven't, and if you have, read it again.
Great.
Thanks for joining me on It's All About Food. And
thanks
the best
so
to you on your journey.
Great. Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks
be
again.
Well.
Yeah,
I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food. We're going to take a quick break and then be back with another very lovely individual, Victoria Moran.